got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life, this is our song. We'll fight the powers that be just. Don't pick our destiny, cause you don't know us, you don't belong. Condescending, your goal is never ending. We don't want nothing, not a thing from you. Your life is tried and jaded, boring and confiscated. If that's your best won't do.
Was I clear about that?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, thank.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Brandcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in California, on KFOI in Red Bluff and Redding, and KKRN in Round Mountain, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us. Wendell, if you can turn up my the trim there just a little bit, I would greatly appreciate it. There we go. Much better. Thank you, sir. Well, about 7 million Americans showed up in the streets across the country on Saturday to say that, yes, they were not going to take it anymore either. Or at least, if they were, they were going to do so peacefully for now and in very good spirits, it seems, in the largest single day of protest in America since at least the 1970s. If you were one of those people, or you watched those people over the weekend on your television machines, or if, in fact, you disagree with those people. I would love to hear from you today as we continue to keep the lines of communication open over, over your public airwaves today at 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. If you happen to be listening live today in our Southern California listening area and you didn't get hit by shrapnel from exploding ordnance over the I-5 freeway this weekend, thanks to the only notable violence that happened on No King's Day, the Trump administration ordered that the U.S. Marines fire live ordnance over the freeway.
That was fun.
In Trump and J.D. Vance's celebration of the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Marine Corps, and it did not go well, did it, Des?
No, it did not. That was kind of funny.
That was funny because no one was seriously hurt, though they could have been, thanks to Governor Gavin Newsom closing down the freeway despite the Trump administration telling them to not do so. Anyway, if you survived that, 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. More on that shortly if time, along with hopefully your calls. But first, a few other items of note since we last spoke to you on this program late last week. Juries in Washington, D.C. are clearly not taking it anymore. In a closely watched case, a federal jury in Washington, D.C. acquitted a woman last week on charges of assaulting a federal law enforcement officer outside of the D.C. jail during a transfer of detainees to ICE. Federal grand juries had previously declined three different times to indict Sidney Reed on felony charges for the incident. Three different times, the grand jury rejected those felony charges, despite the well-worn saying the prosecutors can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich, since the grand jury procedure allows for prosecutors to offer their side of the argument only, not the defendant's side, when seeking indictments. So this is very rare for a grand jury to turn down such an indictment, much less three times. But as we have seen more and more frequently of late, grand juries are now saying no to federal prosecutors under the Trump regime, including in this case, which was brought by former Fox News anchor turned Trump's U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, Jeanine Pirro. Rather than dropping the case, however, after being rejected three times by grand juries, which is just unheard of until the Trump era, Pirro said, well, the hell with it, and she charged it as a misdemeanor instead and took it to trial and then lost. The federal U.S. district judge noted that it may have been the first time any criminal defendant has been charged federally in D.C. with misdemeanor assaults on a federal officer, that according to WUSA. And even there, the regular jury, as opposed to the grand jury, said no. No, we're not playing along. The defendant here, Sidney Reed, was quickly found not guilty in the case, even of the misdemeanor at the end of the trial. Before the jury even got the case, U.S. District Judge Sparkle Suknanen acquitted Reed of the misdemeanor in one of the two incidents with the federal officer, saying that she is said to have assaulted because there was insufficient evidence. In fact, the officer in question had testified to the grand jury that Reed had initiated physical contact, but in fact, video of the incident showed that that was not true. So the judge noticed that and took that out of the question. That left the jury to decide whether Reed had assaulted the other officer, the sole witness for the prosecution. But as it turns out, that officer did not turn over some of her text messages about the case until the very first day of the trial, and even then, one was missing. Quote, the missing message was only discovered in the middle of cross-examination of the witness, according to WUSA. So this is your law and order administration at work, apparently, shooting themselves in their own two left feet day after day after day while pretending to be fighting crime. The defendant here, who was acquitted, issued a statement right after the jury verdict, making clear that she was not going to take it anymore. She said, "This verdict shows that this administration and their peons are not able to invoke fear in all citizens." Reed said, "I'm just one woman, one human, one citizen of D.C., disgusted by this reality that we are forced to live in. I feel sorry for the prosecutors," she said, "who must be burdened by Trump's irrational and unfounded hatred for his fellow man. He's a crazy person who's in charge of the most powerful nation. Knowing that I can stand in front of 12 of my fellow citizens," Reed said, "and be found not guilty for standing up for basic human rights makes me feel like, despite the scary times that we live in, we have hope for the future," she said. So I'm happy to embrace that hope myself today, along with at least 7 million of my fellow Americans who are unafraid to make that hope known publicly over the weekend. And that's important. Unlike the federal officials who are currently terrorizing U.S. cities and those who live in them, only the inflatable frogs at the weekend's protest were covering up their faces.
True. And they did it hilariously. Yeah.
And
well,
they did. Yes. The feds, on the other hand, the ICE goons who were just wreaking havoc across the country, for some reason, they need to cover up their faces. And I can hardly blame them. U.S. attorneys were forced to pull back on attempted charges against those who have exercised their right to object to the administration. They have been doing this now all over the country, pulling back charges that they're trying to bring in this attempted war on the American people. That's not only happening in D.C. Out here in L.A., for example, last week, U.S. Attorney Bill Assayle downgraded from a felony to a misdemeanor charge the charges against labor leader David Huerta, arising from his arrest while he was peacefully protesting an immigration raid here in Los Angeles several months ago, realizing, yeah, we're not going to get this guy. We don't have the evidence. We better make it a misdemeanor instead of a felony, and good luck getting that misdemeanor conviction. Meanwhile, federal judges, at least in the lower courts, if not at the corrupted U.S. Supreme Court, continue to say no to the Trump regime over and over again, and they deserve to be heard when they speak out loudly and clearly against this lawless administration, reminding us that, yes, in this country, there are no kings, even and perhaps especially during a federal government shutdown, which is now entering its fourth week. Congressional Democrats continue to refuse to help Republicans adopt a budget bill that radically cuts health care coverage for tens of millions of Americans who have insurance via the Affordable Care Act, via Medicaid, and yes, via Medicare. A federal judge last week granted a temporary restraining order for now, blocking the administration from laying off thousands of federal workers during the government shutdown, which Trump, who has no special or additional rights to fire workers during a shutdown, as he has been threatening for weeks, if Democrats did not follow his royal command to help Republicans cut health care for millions of Americans. Two unions sued the Trump administration last month ahead of the shutdown after the White House signaled a plan to lay off workers through so-called reductions in force, or RIFs, at federal agencies, which, as former Biden administration budget advisor Bobby Kogan recently explained on this show, those RIFs are not lawful during a shutdown, and having a shutdown does not make them any more so. In fact, it makes them less lawful. At a hearing last Wednesday, the federal judge in the Northern District of California granted the union's motion to issue a temporary restraining order preventing the layoffs for now. The words of senior U.S. District Judge Susan Yvonne Ilson, however, deserve to be heard. She said in part, quote, "The activities that are being undertaken by this administration are contrary to the laws. You can't do this in a nation of laws," Judge Ilson said. Judge Ilsen said that the Trump administration had, quote, taken advantage of the lapse in government spending and government functioning to assume that all bets are off, the laws don't apply to them anymore, and that they can impose the structures that they like on the government situation that they don't like. Judge Ilsen made clear that none of that is actually the case, and she has, at least for now, blocked layoffs to at least 4,000 federal workers that Trump accused of working for Democrat programs in the federal government, whatever that means. Sky Perryman, president and CEO of Democracy Forward, one of the groups suing in this case, said that the that Trump, quote, seems to think his government shutdown is distracting people from the harmful and lawless actions of his administration, but the American people are holding him accountable, including in the courts. The judge's statements, Perryman said, make clear that the president's targeting of federal workers, a move straight out of Project 2025's playbook, is unlawful, adding that, quote, playing games with their livelihoods is cruel and unlawful and a threat to everyone in our nation. But, of course, the cruelty and the unlawfulness is likely the point in a nation that said pretty loudly over the weekend, we're not going to take it anymore. A few days before millions of Americans held No Kings rallies in some 2,700 communities across the country, Donald Trump told reporters, quote, I hear very few people are going to be there, by the way.
I'm sure he said that.
He really thought
that that was going to be a thing.
He did. Doesn't turn out that was the case after all. Turns out just a few people showed up, something like more than 7 million. Nobody fell for his pathetic attempted Jedi mind trick, by the way, to say, I hear a few people are going. In fact, I think it encouraged more people to show up Saturday. So thank you very much, Mr. President. More than 7 million are estimated to have participated in last week's No Kings protests. That, according to Washington Post today, which described the peaceful, often joyous gatherings as some of the biggest mass demonstrations in American history. Nice work, everyone. The crowds, which held 2 million more people than the last No Kings demonstration back in June, could be seen as a stark warning for Trump about the weakening support for his agenda. The paper argues, as Trump's approach to almost every key policy area remains underwater in the polls, including deploying the National Guard in American cities, his handling of immigration, levying tariffs on trading partners, and his handling of the war in Ukraine, just to name a few of the policy areas where Americans overwhelmingly disapprove of what Donald Trump is doing. If you think you are alone, or if you think you are in the minority in objecting to Donald Trump, no. You are in the majority. Welcome to it. More than two-thirds of Americans hold negative views of the economy, according to a new Washington Post Ipsos poll last month. Despite Republicans' fervent messaging, the Democrats' health care demands caused the current government shutdown. Polling continues to suggest that a majority of Americans believe the president and his party are to blame for that shutdown. That is not surprising. No matter how many times Trump and his administration and their supporters repeat that he was elected overwhelmingly by the American people last year, the truth is, and you need to remember this, the truth is, no matter how much they say that, a majority of American voters voted against Donald Trump last November. They voted against him, not for him. The majority of voters, let me repeat that, the majority of voters who voted last year voted against Donald Trump, not in favor of him. Don't let them gaslight you otherwise. Senator Chris Murphy, a Connecticut Democrat, said, quote, the truth is that he is enacting a detailed step-by-step plan to destroy all of the things that protect our democracy. Free speech, fair elections, independent press, the right to peacefully protest. He was speaking at the protest in downtown Washington on Saturday. He added, but the truth is that he has not won yet. The people still rule this country. Do you agree? Do they? 818-985-5735. Would love to hear from folks who either went to the rallies over the weekend or didn't go for some reason, perhaps because they were afraid, or perhaps because they disagreed with them. 818-985-KPFK. As NBC News reported, crowds gathered Saturday in cities across the U.S. and overseas for these No Kings rallies in protest of Donald Trump's administration and to call for the defense of First Amendment rights. Protesters from L.A. to New York to Chicago to Washington, D.C. and Austin, Texas, absolutely flooded into the streets, chanting, marching, waving homemade signs. No, they were not signs made by professional paid protesters as they tried to gaslight you in advance of the rallies either. They were signs that were dreamt up and created in homes like yours across the country by Americans proud to show those signs to their neighbors, to the news media, and to the world. They're not hiding behind masks. And no, despite Republicans' repeated claims that the rallies would be violent, so-called hate America rallies, well, they were nothing of the sort. Despite enormous turnout in cities both large and small, police reported no arrests, zero arrests in major city after major city during the rallies. Though, to be fair, there were about 20 arrests in various locations around the country, almost all of them MAGA folks attempting to disrupt the peaceful rallies. Who could have seen that coming? But to fully appreciate the scope of Saturday's breakthrough and the severity of the rebuke that Trump faced, consider the reaction from the rally's intended target, notes MSNBC's Steve Bannon. On Saturday afternoon, the New York Times asked the White House for the president's reaction to the demonstration. Quote, "Who cares?" a Trump spokesperson replied. Well, actually, I think he does, and I think he cares very much. What the president, his spokespeople described as "who cares," well, by Saturday night, Trump had posted an AI-generated video depicting him piloting a fighter jet labeled King Trump, with Trump himself at the controls wearing a crown and dropping payloads of liquefied excrement on thousands of U.S. protesters in what appears to be Times Square in New York City. But really, who cares? Now, hopefully a lot of you had heard that the President of the United States did this. The President of the United States himself posted this video, or someone who has access to his social media accounts, I guess. But I hope you have heard about it, because in fact, as I understand it, none of the major Sunday news shows actually reported on that video. And the fact that the President of the United States posted a picture of him wearing a crown, flying a fighter jet, and bombing Americans with poop.
So in other words, he's literally pooping on America, and that's the message that he wants to send.
Apparently so. While wearing a crown. And I know that it was meant to get a reaction from his opponents, but I got to tell you, the only one that I could muster was complete and utter embarrassment for him and for our country. The AI-generated video was, of course, disgusting. Writes Bannon, and a timely reminder of the incumbent president's juvenile and classless taste, but it was part of a series of online postings. Again, he doesn't care, right? Another video featured Trump in a crown wielding a huge sword as Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer bowed before him. Donald Trump felt it was important to post that on Saturday, No Kings Night. A day later, aboard Air Force One, following his latest weekend of golfing in Florida, the Republican continued to whine about the No Kings event, characterizing the massive turnout as, quote, very small, despite the reality that I suspect most of you listening have already seen by now. The New York Times' Jamel Bowie noted in his latest column, quote, "Nationwide protests with millions of people are a direct rebuke to the president's narrative. They send a signal to the most disconnected parts of the American public that the president is far from as popular as he claims to be. And they send a clear warning to the institutions under pressure from the administration. Hey, bend the knee and lose our business and support. Did you get that message, businesses? By all appearances, none of this was lost on Trump, whose over-the-top reaction to No Kings posting those videos offered evidence of the success of the rallies. They were intended to send a powerful message to an increasingly authoritarian figure who appeared rattled by the National Dispatch, as Bannon sees it, which in itself would seem to prove the success of the event, that the Speaker of the House and members of both Congress and the administration repeatedly warned would be violent, so-called hate America rallies. They were none of the above. Interviews with attendees, old, young, white, black, brown, everything in between, appeared to demonstrate otherwise, as Mother Jones rounded up in some of their own video coverage on Saturday in several different large rallies at several different large rallies across California, as contrasted with House Speaker Mike Johnson's repeated assertions, warning, gaslighting in advance of the massive weekend demonstrations.
We're going to bring together the Marxists, the socialists, the Antifa advocates, the anarchists, and the pro-Hamas wing of the far-left Democrat Party. That is the modern Democratic Party. That's where they've gone. And the Hate America rally is the common theme among all those groups.
Oh, well, there's illusional. We all know that. I don't really think there's any point in arguing that, because everybody, like, they know they're lying, we know they're lying.
Just another piece of failure propagandizing that is probably even going to go over on Fox.
It's lies.
We hate their America because that's not what America is. We hate Christian nationalism. We hate white Christian nationalism. That's not America. That's bullshit. Pardon my language.
It's more of just the like blatant lying from, you know, the administration just to try and increase like the amount of division in the country. And it's just really disappointing to see.
They call anybody who disagrees with what they're doing a hate America rally. So, you know, it doesn't
surprise me. I mean, you know.
Nah, I don't hate America. Nah, we're born and raised in America. I have family here in America. Friends, you know. I think that Antifa is some stuff they done made up to find a boogeyman.
We love America, and the real ones who hate America is this administration.
Being able to protest, being able to exercise our First Amendment rights in protesting is patently American. So anyone who says it's un-American needs to go read the Constitution.
Seeing that on the news, Republican after Republican calling it the Hate America rally, perfect. No, I love my country. Loving someone or loving your country doesn't mean you accept it as just everything's wonderful. You can accept it with its flaws and faults and hope for improvement.
Like, it's very obvious that we're all here because we love our community, you know, and this country, and we want the best for it and everyone around us, you know, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And they, you know, they hate that because it goes against the narrative that we're here to, like, burn down America.
So, that was a lot. A lot of stuff going on over this weekend, and a lot of stuff that does not sync up with what Donald Trump and Mike Johnson told you to expect this weekend. We told you, of course, to expect otherwise, and as usual, we're right. But do you know that they are lying? Do you not know that? Because I'd really love to hear from you if so. If you think people like me are somehow lying, 818-985-5735. I know there's a lot of other things going on today, as Israel's war in Gaza is not quite as over, it seems, as Israel and the administration has claimed, with targeted strikes breaking out again over the weekend, killing more than 60 Palestinians. Trump continuing to try and trigger an all-out war against countries like Venezuela and Colombia, whose small boats he is seemingly indiscriminately and definitely unlawfully targeting and blowing out of the water, claiming without evidence that they are carrying narco-terrorists on drug runs, trying to kill Americans or something. As noted, the government shutdown heads into its fourth week with no end in sight as Trump and Republicans continue to refuse to negotiate with Democrats, even as tens of millions of Americans will shortly see how their monthly health insurance premiums for next year, beginning January 1, are about to skyrocket and more than double or even triple in many cases. Donald Trump continues to weaponize his Justice Department against his political enemies and the federal military against cities that did not vote for him. Just before airtime this afternoon, a federal appeals court reversed a lower district court judge, ruling that the administration can, in fact, deploy federalized National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon, despite the lies from the administration that peaceful Portland is somehow a war-ravaged, burning-down hellhole because, well, apparently because either that's what they told him on Fox News or he's just lying about it. In this case, it was a federal appeals court panel of three judges, two of them Trump appointees, and one of them dissenting and, in fact, asking the full on-bank Ninth Circuit Court to quickly rehear this case and make another decision before those troops are, in fact, deployed to Portland. So we'll see how that goes. Interestingly, the judge said, above all, at the end of the dissent, above all, I ask those who are watching this case unfold to retain faith in our judicial system for just a little longer, as the judge urged his colleagues on this court to act swiftly to vacate the majority's order before the illegal deployment of troops under false pretenses can occur. The Supreme Court appears on the verge of killing the last remaining provisions of the Voting Rights Act, as we discussed last week in great detail in advance of next year's critical midterm elections, and a right-wing Republican company last week quietly purchased one of the nation's largest voting machine companies. We will talk about that in coming days, but that is just the tiniest of samples of all that is going on, and we will likely try to get to all of that in the days ahead. But before this historic event, this historic moment of this weekend recedes into history and back to the day-to-day distractions of the President of the United States and his administration, I would love to hear from some of you who participated in the weekend's rally, why you went, what you saw, what you may have learned from them, whether you personally participated or not. 818-985-5735 is our number if you're in our live Southern California listening area or listening live anywhere in the world via kpfk.org, our live web stream there. 818-985-KPFK. I heard from person after person that they found these rallies to be the most joyous such demonstrations that they had ever attended in big cities and small towns alike, in more than 2,700 of them, in fact, according to organizers, who thanked the Republicans for giving them so much publicity with their lies and gaslighting about Hate America rallies. We'll take a quick break. One of those who attended was Desi Doyen. If she gets off the phone, I know she's answering, screening our calls right now, which I hope to get to. We'll try to talk to her. But when we come back, your calls on all of this. 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
The great irony is, of course, that Donald Trump is the son of an immigrant, the grandson of an immigrant, and married to an immigrant. In fact, two of his three wives were immigrants, proving yet again that immigrants will do the jobs that even Americans are not willing to do.
Yeah, the signs were everywhere over the weekend. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. I want to get to your calls as soon as possible, though. I will note, where is my favorite sign? I lost track of it. I wrote it down. Where is it here? Oh, of course I don't have it when I need it. Oh, there we go. First they came for the immigrants, and I spoke up because I know the rest of the goddamn poem. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let's go to Sue in Tacoma, Washington. Is that our friend For Earthy up in Tacoma?
Yes, it's me, Brad. I told you I was going to call one of these days.
Well, you've made good on your threat. How are you, Sue? Appreciate you calling in. Did you go out to the rallies?
It's really Susan, and I am great. I did not go to the rallies because I can't do crowds with my autoimmune condition right now.
Okay.
But I followed it online, and 7 million people, I'm gobsmacked. I really am.
Did you?
I'm starting.
Go ahead.
To restore my faith in humanity.
Well, if that's what it takes, we'll take it. I know a lot of people are feeling just like you are, feeling pretty grim. It was a grim week last week, and I know that it buoyed my spirits as well. So I'm glad it buoyed yours, Susan.
I just want to live long enough to see the end of this guy. I'm 82, so I'm older than Donald.
Wow.
But I want to live long enough. And this is giving me hope that there's going to be an end to this eventually. I don't think this can go on much longer. I mean, the President of the United States making memes about dumping food on voters.
Yes.
What is wrong with the Republican Party? How can they possibly survive this? I don't, you know, I'm happy that they can't. But what are they thinking, really?
I wish I knew. I really do. And I know, Susan, I know you're a regular listener. We ask every week, hey, if you can explain this, if you're a supporter of Donald Trump's, if you support this nonsense, give us a call and explain why. And we'll have a reasonable conversation about it. But
I have talked to several Trumpers, and just to ask them, why? And all I get is gibberish. I mean, even when I'm I'm not trying to bait them or anything, just trying to get some information, I get nothing. It's a cult.
It is.
That's all I can think of. It's the cult mentality where it doesn't matter if I don't have an excuse. I believe in him because I do, and that's all the reason I need to have.
It's brain poisoning. Brain poisoning, Susan. I really appreciate your taking the time to call in today. Stay safe out there.
Thank you, Brad. We're
going to get this solved. We're going to get this solved. You got a long life ahead of you. Stay in there. We'll get this solved in short order, Susan.
Love you guys.
Love you back.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 818-985-KPFK. What did you learn this weekend? What did you not know before you either went or watched these rallies? I'd love to hear from you. And, of course, if you're one of those brain poisoned folks who is no longer brain poisoned, I'd love to hear what it is that helped you turn the page. If you are still brain poisoned, well, tell me how I'm wrong. As Charlie Kirk used to say, prove me wrong. Debate me, bro. Let me go to Julie in Los Angeles. Hey, Julie, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, Julie, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Yes, I was at the Pico Robertson in Los Angeles rally with my daughter, and we were so moved by the elderly women who circulated around the block where there were at least 2,000 people, and they clapped for us, encouraging us, and they held signs. They would go around and hold signs from their convertibles, their tiny little convertibles. They looked like cartoon characters. They were in a tiniest car with this big sign, and it was so great. They looked like the Ednas from The Incredibles. You know Edna, that character?
Yes, yes.
With the hairstyle?
Yes.
It was like a group of these older women. I think they must have been, well in their later decades. And they said that they've been doing this for 60 years, and they were smiling and they were joyful, and it was so inspiring because it's so intolerable. Every day is worse than the day it was before, and yet these women, these very old women, came out and were super active, encouraging the crowd, and it was magnificent.
And you went with your daughter. How old is your daughter, Julie?
She's 13.
13. So yeah, that was what I was seeing in in the television coverage and from people who went, who I talked to, that it was people old, young, male, female, middle age, white, black, brown. Everybody just turned out, and everybody seemed to have a good time. It seems to have buoyed everyone's spirits, at least for now. And I know that, by Saturday night, he's trying to get everyone down with his stupid AI videos. But I'm so glad you went out, Julie. Are you a pro? Have you done this before? Or is this your first time?
Oh, yeah.
You've done it before?
For a very long time, yes.
Yeah?
And it's shameful, the state of affairs in our United States. And I agree with you. It's totally embarrassing, and it's so shameful. And this is the only thing we can do is just be with each other so we don't lose our minds.
Yes, I agree. And it was nice that everybody got together this weekend. Thanks, Julie. I really appreciate you turning out, and I appreciate your call. 818-985-KPFK is our phone number, 818-985-5735. I thought this remark from retired decorated U.S. Army Sergeant Brian Wofford in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, was quite instructive. Sergeant Wofford lost one of his legs in a car bomb attack in Iraq, but he turned out anyway over the weekend for the No Kings rally in Oklahoma City.
I would say that I was willing to die and lost a leg in a foreign country fighting for their rights. There's no way I'm bending the only knee I have left for a king here in America. I can't sit idly by why rights are trampled on and ignored, and people are pushed and treated like second-class citizens.
In Washington, that was thank you for your service, Sergeant Wofford. In Washington, D.C., Iraq War Marine veteran Sean Howard said he had never participated in a protest before, but that he was motivated to show up because of what he sees as the Trump administration's, quote, disregard for the rule of law. He said immigration detentions without due process and deployments of troops in U.S. cities are, quote, un-American, and that they are alarming signs of eroding democracy. He said, quote, I fought for freedom and against this kind of extremism abroad. Howard added that he also worked at the CIA for 20 years on counter-extremism operations. He said, quote, now I see a moment in America where we have extremists everywhere who are, in my opinion, pushing us to some kind of civil conflict. Let's hope that conflict remains peaceful. 818-985-5735. Let me go to, Dennis. Do I have Dennis there? Yeah, Dennis in Santa Barbara. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Yeah, thanks for opening this up. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm calling from Santa Barbara. I went to the No Kings protest.
Mm-hmm.
And I went because I feel it's imperative that we push back against the fascism of the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. However, I first went to the rally that they had. There were a huge amount of people, which I was very impressed. I was happy about that. But at the rally, they presented speakers like Congressman Carbajal, who has repeatedly, consistently voted to fund Israel during the genocide, and he was cheered.
Yeah,
very enthusiastically.
Okay.
And they welcomed him. They presented him like a hero. Excuse me, this is not a hero.
Well, let me ask you this.
Involved in genocide.
All right.
He's supporting genocide, just like both the Trump and Biden administrations have been doing.
Dennis, let me ask you this. Dennis, can I respond for a second, please? If there had been Trump voters who showed up and said, listen, I support Trump, but I do not support what he's doing. I voted for him. I do not support what he's doing. No Kings. If they had showed up, would you have cheered them on, or would you have said, yeah, I didn't want them there because they voted for Donald Trump? In other words, the reason I'm asking this question is you're not going to agree with everyone. You got to pick and choose your battles here.
No, wait. This is not a matter of agreeing. If there were other protests there that had that attitude that just happened to to be fine with what Carbajal and also Adam Schiff, who they also brought up treated like, mentioned him like he was a hero. I'm talking about the organizers, the leadership of this protest. That, I'm not talking about other people that might have different opinions of me. I'm talking about the and the way that they were received, the loud, overwhelming, cheering response.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking, and I got so disgusted, quite frankly, that I left.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you showed up, and I'm glad you left when it was not to your liking. I would urge, as I have urged people, to figure out your priorities, figure out how we get out of this mess. And I'm no happier about what happened in Israel and Gaza than you are. But I think we need to figure out how we get out of this mess.
What my parades are. I'm for humanity. I'm not for needless killing of men, women, and children.
Right. And the guy who's in the...
for what Trump is doing.
Right.
It's not a matter... But I have my parades figured out. The people that don't are those that cheered Congressman Carbajal and people like him.
Fair enough. And I appreciate your saying so and your speaking up against that. Thanks, Dennis. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate your call. Letting us know. 818-985-5735. Let me go to Adhama in Long Beach. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Adhama?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Adhama?
Yes.
Or how do you say your name?
Yes. Adhama. It's like Adam with an A at the end.
All right. Hey, Adhama, welcome to the broadcast. You are live on the air. What's on your mind, sir?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Thank you. And I love the broadcast, and I love Desi Doyen.
Oh, wow. Who doesn't?
I just wanted to chime in that I attended the first King's rally up in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and decided after being in that sea of people that I should come back to Long Beach so that I could just attend here. It is such... So spirit uplifting.
Mm.
I saw people with their babies in pupusas. I saw kids on their little bicycles crossing the street to be a part of the event. It was magical. And I just want to speak up for my city, Long Beach.
There you go.
And say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful experience. That's all I wanted to say.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate that call. Thank you, Adhama. Oh, I've never. Adhama. I don't know. But thank you
Adhama.
For that call. Adhama. Thank you. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Jack down in Venice. Hey, Jack. No Kings. Welcome to the broadcast. Oh, did we lose Jack? Did I do that? Jack? Did we lose Jack? We lost Jack. All right, I'm going to try to put him back on hold. He's a Marine Corps vet. I'd love to hear from you, Jack. If we accidentally hung up on you, give us a call back. 818-985-5735. Let me go to Robert in San Pedro. Hey, Robert, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, have we lost everyone?
No, I think you need to hang up on that line that you've got. Here, let me do that. There we go.
That.
Try that again.
I don't know how these phones work. Now Robert's gone. I'm sorry to say. Call us back, Robert, 818-985-5735. Let me see if I don't screw this one up. Ron in West L.A. Hey, Ron, are you there?
Good. How you doing?
I didn't hang up on you yet?
No, we're good.
All
can
right.
you hear me?
Yes, I can. Give it a few seconds. I'm sure I'll screw it up. What's up?
I went to the one in Venice.
Oh, yeah?
At Abbot Kinney and Venice Boulevard. Man, it knocked me out. It's a little hard for me to talk about it right now without being a little emotional, man, because
that's okay.
You know who you're talking to here. I'm generally not somebody with a whole lot of hope at this point, and this thing really changed my head. That's about all I can say about it. Okay.
How did it change? Why did it change your head? Was it the number of people turning out, the things they were talking about? What was it that made you feel different? Because I know, you've called in before, very concerned about what's going on in this country, not very optimistic about it. What was it that changed you, Ron, from the weekend?
I I have felt like, you know, just a voice in the wind, you know? I mean, I know other people feel like I do. I had no idea it would be this much of a wave, okay? Mm-hmm. And it just knocked me out, completely knocked me out. And I can't add much to what other people have already said. Gives me a whole lot of hope. It's like these bastards aren't going to get away with it. And I feel really good about that. All right? So that's it.
Got it.
I don't want to get with the FCC, okay?
That's appreciated, Ron. Thank you. Okay. These bastards are not going to get away with it. Good to hear from you, Ron. Hang in there, brother. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Angela in Lancaster. Hey, Angela. Welcome
Hello?
To the broadcast.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you out there in the Inner Empire, I guess?
Oh, very hot up here.
I know.
But I love when you said in the radio regarding the rally. I mean, I didn't go, but my daughters went.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, my daughter called me and she said, Mom, you need to come here. And I got there a little bit late,
uh-huh. But
it was amazing. I meet so many people with all ages, even a grandma. And it feels that finally United States came all together.
Why,
you know?
Why did you not go? And what was it initially? Why did you not go? And what was it that your daughters felt they needed to contact you and say, hey, Mom, get out here. What happened there?
Because it was a lot of nurses there, and then it was doctors there, and there was a lot of people with wheelchairs that they were handicapped, and they were still there.
And
I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse, and I know how it feels.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter said, no, Mom, you need to come. You need to come. And so finally I went there, and I got there. But the spirit, it was so strong. And I really like it because when that happened, September 11 in New York?
Yeah.
We lost our family there. And then, but after that, after all the commotion, everything, whatever happened there, people came together. And I think and I believe that the American dream is supposed to be for everybody. And I think that everybody has to come down for right now, and then everybody has to just build on each other instead of pulling apart.
I hear you, Angela, and I agree. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for turning out over the weekend. It's greatly appreciated and great to hear from you. 818-985.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. 818-985-5735. I think Robert is calling us back from San Pedro, if I don't screw it up. Hey, Robert, welcome to... Thanks for calling back. Sorry about hanging up on you earlier.
No worries. Brad, I don't think you're going to be able to, I'd hope you'd let me finish before you interject.
Okay.
First thing, all glory to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Second, you took his name in vain when you were talking about some poem earlier. Very offensive. Third, to the guy who lost his knee in overseas,
mm-hmm.
Thank you for your service. I'm an independent voter. I straddle the fence when it comes to the blue and the red. Both sides are wrong. They have their pluses and they have their minuses. All right? Yeah, Trump's getting a little out of control, but he's trying to get this place back in order.
A little out of control?
Look at what was look what he had to deal with before. Okay,
what did he have to deal with? What was he given?
What was he given? A massive amount of debt, a whole bunch of people who are not supposed to be here.
Well, let me hang on a second now. A massive amount of debt. He has increased the debt since when he took office the first time, and he's done it again now that he's back in office. He's massively increased the debt by about $3.5-4 trillion with the big, beautiful bill that was just signed weeks ago. So obviously, having a large debt is not a problem.
Into debt?
What's that?
What president hasn't got us into debt?
Well, let's see. Joe Biden actually, I believe, decreased the debt. I believe.
You want to check some numbers?
If I wasn't coming up to the top of the hour, I would. I know Bill Clinton left with a surplus at the end of his presidency. So, I mean, what do you mean? What he had to deal with? A lot of what he had to deal with was what he set up. Secondly, by the way, I was reading. I was reading a protest sign from the rally. You may not like that protest sign, but to accuse me of doing something you didn't like, you're welcome to do it. But I just wanted to make clear of where that came from. And we're coming up to the top of the hour. So very quickly, what else is it that he had to deal with that you think makes this a both sides are the same sort of issue?
Well, let's just say Ukraine. He's trying to deal with that. He's done a lot better job than Sleepy Joe. At least he's brought these two guys to the table several times.
No, he hasn't.
Okay.
He has not. Vladimir Putin refuses to meet with Zelensky.
Just not too long ago.
What's that?
Yes,
Donald Trump rolled out the red carpet for Vladimir Putin. The president of Ukraine, Zelensky, was not invited.
Well, because Zelensky was a stand-up comedian, and there's a lot of things that are going wrong in the Ukraine. Trafficking.
Dude, all right.
Like
I'm coming up at the top of the hour. Robert, I would love to talk to you more about this. I hope you will call in the future. It was my fault that I screwed up earlier in hanging up on you when I didn't mean to. But I won't have time for this particular debate to suggest that he's a stand-up comedian. And I guess Donald Trump, who had a game show, was a game show host, shouldn't meet with the president of Ukraine in the middle of the war. I just wanted to straighten you out, though. In fact, they have not been brought together through the Trump presidency. You may have misunderstood that. By the way, Ronald Reagan was also an actor. I'm sure you didn't hold that against him. But thank you.
I will call back at a future date,
all right.
And I will cross swords again.
I will look forward to it. Thank you, Robert. We don't really have time to go. Do I have time for one more? I got one more, maybe. Mark in L.A. Hey, Mark, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, Mark, do I have Mark?
Mark? Hear me?
There, yo, Mark in L.A., go. You got 30 seconds. And then we lost him again. One of these days we're going to learn how to do this. All right, we got to get out anyway. Thanks to everybody who called in. My apologies to everyone who I could not get to today. It was good to hear from everybody. It was good to see everybody turning out or see so many people turning out over the weekend. Hang in there. Stay positive. Please know you are not alone. There are millions of us who feel the way that you do. And in fact, more of us, as I mentioned at the top of the show, voted against Donald Trump than voted for him. Don't let them gaslight you to the contrary. All right. My thanks to everyone who called in. Thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen. Thanks to our board operator, Wendell Handy. And thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can download them for free anytime at bradblog.com. Drop me email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, all of them pretty much, you'll find me at The Brad Blog. We will see you there until we see you back here tomorrow, right here on the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.